Voters spoke loudly in the last election, signaling they wanted changes in federal policy. But a former Obama administration appointee argues the incoming team of President Trump would be well advised to listen carefully to and engage with the senior workforce. Chris Liu was Deputy Secretary of Labor, and he joins me now in studio. Chris, good to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
And you have written and said publicly that, yeah, the incoming team needs to listen to the employees, and especially we've got groups of employees taking to the streets almost, picketing and signs. And let's start there. Is that the wisest response to what they fear will be coming from the new administration?
Well, I don't know if it's the wisest response, but what you are seeing is an unprecedented level of dissent engaged in by the federal workforce. And the reaction of the Trump White House is, at least of Sean Spicer, was, well, if you don't like it, you should leave. And that certainly is a response. That's not the response that I would recommend for some of this incoming agency leadership.
What do you wish Sean Spicer had said?
Every president comes in with new policy positions. That is the dynamic that makes our government strong. And it is the responsibility of the career civil service to provide the best advice and to implement and execute the president's policies.
Let's talk about your tenure at Labor. First of all, there was a big change between the Bush administration and the Obama administration, and that could change back again now, all likelihood it will. But you had a situation of pretty low morale at Labor. What happened there in terms of employee engagement?
When Tom Perez came to the Department of Labor in 2013, he faced a department of very low morale. We were ranked 17th out of 19th in large federal agencies in an annual survey of employee engagement. Over a three-year period, we went from 17 to 10 to 8 to 6. We were the most improved large federal agency 2 years in a row. And we did that by implementing a full court press to listen to our employees, find out their best ideas of not only how we could improve the department's programs, but how we could also improve their work-life balance, the positions, policies we could take within the department to improve how we acted. And so we are proud of the steps we took.
What are some of the ideas that you came up with that you might not have thought of on your own by listening to people?
Well, it was not only how we could improve our external programs, how we made our job training programs more effective, how we did more to safeguard worker safety, but it was internal policies as well. One of the ideas that our employees really wanted was to have wireless in the building, and we were able to provide that. One of the simple steps that somebody asked was, hey, why isn't there a microwave in the cafeteria at the Department of Labor? And we said, we don't know why, but let's put one in there. We also took a look at the workplace flexibilities of the Department of Labor. And what we realized that when it came to things like teleworking, more flexible work arrangements, we were really behind the time. So we updated our personnel policies as well.
And you did work in the Francis Perkins Building, which is hardly a garden spot among the structures in Washington, D.C.
I think one survey found it to be the second ugliest building, and I can't imagine who actually beat us out for that.
I think that's HUD,
that
by the way.
That was HUD. Yeah. And it's one of the reasons why we decided to start the process on getting a new building, because we realized that as many improvements as we could make, we were still limited by the fact that we had a 40-year-old decrepit building that didn't heat and cool well, that unfortunately has far too many rodents running around the place. And so we made dramatic steps, but we made those steps by listening to our employees first. And that's my advice to the incoming Trump leadership.
Kind of an irony there that the federal building of the Labor Department was probably in violation of the rules that OSHA, for example, would impose on industry.
No comment on that one.
Right. But getting to that idea of policy, where you have some groups of employees who support the incoming policy and some don't. And this is going to work in both directions. How did you reach out or engage to the people that might have just simply disagreed with the direction the department was taking policy externally?
Well, I have a little experience in this. I ran President Obama's 2008 transition. And what I would say is that there is a significant difference between campaign policy and governing policy. And it's important as the new secretaries come into these departments to translate what that campaign policy is. And the best way you could ensure to implement the policies that you want to implement is by talking to the career civil servants who have been running those programs. You know, a great example is what we've seen over the last couple of weeks. with the administration's travel ban. By all accounts, that was a proposal that was not run through the agencies that would be implementing that, Homeland Security, State, and Defense. And had they talked to the career civil servants who would be implementing the policies, again, those civil servants might have disagreed with the overall policy, but they could have ensured that it better carried forward what the president was trying to do.
And very often policies exist within a framework of law, which we sometimes forget, I think. And even, you know, for some of the labor policies are enabled by legislation. And so what about the idea of maybe tying what you're doing that might be different from the predecessor to show that it nevertheless has some basis in law?
Well, that's exactly right. The overwhelming majority of the laws that any federal department implements are ones that Congress has passed. And I think it's very easy for new presidents to come and say, hey, we're going to do it a completely different way. And it's incumbent upon federal employees to point out to the new political leadership, look, this is a mandate that was put on us by Congress, or this is something that has been is subject to a regulation. Now, you can certainly go to Congress, ask that the law be changed. You could certainly go through notice and comment to change the regulation. But you just can't wave a magic wand and make those mandates go away.
We're speaking with Chris Liu, former Deputy Secretary of Labor during the Obama administration. He's now a senior fellow at the University of Virginia. And what do you tell people that have never been in government? I mean, a lot of the appointees of Trump have been in Congress, which I would argue may not be all that close to contact with the federal workforce. And then there are some like Betsy DeVos and Rex Tillerson at State Department who have never been in government at all.
You know, there is a mantra in particular among Republican administrations that we're going to do more to run government like business. And I certainly applaud the effort to improve the efficiency of how government runs. But I would point out to them that no business runs the way that government does. And there's a variety of historical reasons why that is. There's a reason why you can't just hire and fire employees at will, that you can't promote whoever you want, that you can't contract with whoever you want, and that you've got a very powerful force in Congress that is controlling the purse strings and is dictating what oversight happens. And that's simply a dynamic that doesn't happen in the business sector. And so it is always good to have new blood come in with new ideas of how to do things, but you need to recognize the constraints in which you're operating under.
And we don't really yet have too many appointees at the sub-cabinet level that really do deal directly day-to-day with career federal employees. In the meantime, what should people do?
Well, that is the challenge. We have, I think, seven or eight cabinet members that have been confirmed. There is yet to be a deputy secretary that has been confirmed. The deputy secretaries are, by and large, the chief operating officers in the departments, and they're the ones that are managing human resources and IT and the workings of the department. Those are the folks that you really want to get people who understand how to run government agencies, because it is not like running a business.
And to the employees that are taking the lunch times to conduct the protests, or maybe planning ways to slow walk policies and so forth, and taking to social media, what's your word to them that perhaps there's ways that they could be more effective?
You know, this is a hard one. I'm a firm believer that employees need to implement the policies of the political leadership. I do think we are seeing an unprecedented level of dissent among federal employees, because this is a very unusual presidency, a presidency that's come in with some very fiery rhetoric and also policies and proposals that many career federal employees believe are outside the bounds of what have been traditional domestic and foreign policy priorities. And so I don't blame them for expressing their concerns publicly, and it's not for me to tell them they should not do that. I would also encourage them to have those frank dialogues with their political leadership. And frankly, it's more incumbent upon the political leadership to sit down, engage in those listening sessions. And that's just not a first day photo op that you do. It's constant listening. And I think the leadership will be surprised that when you start talking to federal civil servants, you're going to learn a lot. They're going to help you implement the policies you want, or they're going to tell you why the policies you want to implement can't be done.
So take it down from this cross fortissimo level of speaking and maybe to a mezzo piano and listen to each other.
I think that's right, yes.
Chris Liu was Deputy Secretary of Labor during the Obama administration. He's now a senior fellow at the University of Virginia. Thanks so much for joining me.
My pleasure.
We'll post a link to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive.